All right, call this work session to order. Thanks. This time. Evening, everyone.
I'll be 21.
All right, first topic is rental licenses. John is going to discuss it with us. Hi, John.
Hi, thank you, Mayor Adams, council members. So some of you may recall back in 2016, we began exempting. I'm going to lower the volume and see if that helps. We began exempting a number of different types of non-owner occupied residential properties from our rental licensing and inspection requirements. And one of those was what is commonly called group homes, but more specifically, we exempted facilities, that residential dwellings that are licensed and inspected by the state. And you can think of those as being kind of the traditional group homes that are operated often by a nonprofit or that were previously licensed by the state. Around that same time, this new category started to pop up that was regulated in a very minor way by a different state agency, the Department of Health, instead of the Department of Human Services. And those were classified as housing with services. Those facilities did not have a state license or inspection. And so we have continued to require those facilities to have rental licenses. Beginning in 2021, after I think numerous complaints statewide about the lack of oversight over the operations of these facilities by the state, the Department of Health changed the classification. And I don't know if it was a legislative change or administrative, but for whatever, however they did it, they then phased out the housing with services classification and started requiring them to be licensed and inspected as assisted living. Now, this is a very different business model from the traditional, what you traditionally call a group home. They usually find low-cost single-family homes, don't really do any renovations to them, and then they end up renting out individual bedrooms to people who need some type of care assistance. And just as an example, we've had issues with our first responders having to go to these homes and do lift assists or other services that we provide as a matter of course. But we found that some of these homes, it's not just one person living in somebody's house needing special care. It's the whole house is occupied by people needing special care. And it's usually a for-profit business that operates this type of facility. So with this change, we have some choices to discuss and get feedback from the council tonight. One of the options would be to continue doing what we had been doing from 2016 up until this recent change with the state, which is the Health and Human Services community based care, I think, is the term of the long-standing license that has been going on for a long time, the traditional group homes, that we would continue to exempt those, but we would not exempt this other new classification of facilities. That would require an ordinance change, which is on at the bottom of page 2 of the staff report. And if I can put the staff report on the screen if you want me to. The other option is to go back to our pre-2016 approach, where we required all of these non-owner occupied dwellings, regardless of whether they are state licensed or not, to get a city rental license and inspection. Now, the main reason to do that is that as we dug into this a bit more, we found that the state's inspections, even the traditional group homes, don't look at the same things that we do for our property maintenance code. And they also don't check to see if things like water heaters and furnaces that have been replaced were done so with the required permits and inspections. So with the second option, which is in the middle of page 3, we would amend the ordinance to completely remove the exemption for state licensed and inspected facilities. And then the third option is if we don't make any change to the ordinance, then as these former assisted living houses transition to the, or sorry, housing with services homes transition to this new assisted living license, and they finally get inspected by the state, because most of them haven't been inspected yet, which is why we still make them get rental licenses. At some point, they would phase out of our rental licensing requirement, and we would no longer be licensing and inspecting them in the same way that for the last several years, we have not been licensing and inspecting the traditional group homes. So those are in that, well, no change in the ordinance. You don't need to see where it is in the paper, but it's basically we wouldn't change the ordinance. So those are kind of the three options that staff is presenting to you for discussion, and we'd love to have feedback, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
So on the assisted living facilities, they go through quite a bit of regulatory scrutiny just to get that license. It's not, they may not do the exact same thing, but they still have rigorous standards to adhere to that relate to assisted living. And I agree, they're not identical. I mean, our licenses are pretty much primarily life safety and some, or our inspections, I should say, life safety, as well as some of the maintenance stuff that pops up onto our inspector's radar. So I don't know. You almost made it sound like there's a big hole there. There isn't necessarily a big hole there. I think there's a lot more, I would say, in an assisted living based on their requirements that have to be adhered to than I think a group home, or maybe they're similar. I don't really know for sure, but I know I've done some research in terms of what that looks like in a residential house, and a lot of those standards are pretty scrutinized. I mean, they have to have staff on site as well. So there's that's something that really, I guess, would resemble more of a group home, kind of how the state's deciding to handle it. Just making comments, you know, kind of what I've seen, what I've looked at. And just point of clarity, the assisted living will eventually fall under the group home just based on their regulatory requirements over time. Is that
correct? As far as our approach under the current ordinance?
Yep.
Yeah, that's correct. Right. Once, as the state gradually inspects these and we get a copy of the inspection report, then at that point, they would not need to renew their rental license and get inspected by us under the current language of the ordinance.
Yeah, go ahead, Forrest.
Oh, just a real quick question. In your research, what were other cities doing in terms of their rental ordinances?
Our adjacent cities all require, they don't exempt the group homes either.
Oh, okay.
That exemption was kind of the thing that we did. I will say, though, that we have not had a lot of property maintenance issues at the traditional group homes since we started exempting them. We have had property maintenance issues at the housing services establishments. It's much more common for whatever reason. I don't know why that is, but just from our experience, even though both the traditional group homes and this new assisted living classification, formerly housing services, have state inspection requirements that don't cover the same stuff that we do, just operationally, the traditional group homes seem to be less of a problem in terms of property maintenance, but other cities, they all license and inspect all of these.
Thank you.
Oh,
good.
Talk a little bit about the process, the differences in the process of our inspection and the state's inspection.
So I didn't include the checklist in the packet for brevity, but basically if you look at the state checklists, most of them are about like health and operational issues, right? About standards of care, almost like a medical care focus. Yep. Well, of course, that makes sense, right? Because that's the state's focus. There is some life safety component as far as things like smoke alarms and things like that, but most of it is about standard. I would call it a standard of care, almost like a medical type of checklist. Our inspectors are looking at like property maintenance, and kind of a whole different, there's a tiny bit of overlap in the life safety areas the mayor mentioned, but that is kind of the only overlap. They don't look at the same stuff we do.
So, yeah, go ahead.
So if we choose not to license these and there are safety issues and something happens, does that set the city up for a lawsuit potentially?
I would ask the city attorney to answer. I would guess not.
Okay.
But I'd say there's some political liability, right? If something happens, why didn't the city do something, that kind of thing, which is a legitimate question the public might have. Is that...
Yes, Troy.
Oh,
welcome back.
Nice to be back, Mr. Mayor and Council. Yeah, there really is no, just because the city chooses not to license something doesn't mean it becomes the insurer of that thing. Even if you do license it, frankly, if something bad happens, you're still not the insurer of it. So you don't, unless you affirmatively do something wrong, you're not going to be at issue. But I agree with John. I mean, as far as, well, where was the city? If the bad thing happens, so. Can't really ever get away from that, but that's something to consider.
Yeah, they say that about a lot of different things that really we have nothing to do with.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's just part of the job.
Yeah.
Any others? Follow up on this list of assisted living. These are all residential homes, and we have that many that are, they are purely assisted living. There's not a different... something else going on that fits this category, is there?
Well, I guess I would just say the term assisted living is because that's what the state calls them. And they range, there are a couple larger facilities that are on the list, Heather's Manor at 3000 Douglas Drive, and then the new Sweet Living Senior Care at 3501 Douglas. I know they're kind of buried on that, the page, but almost all the rest of them, if not all of the rest of them, are single family homes. Is typically what these are. But there are some of these facilities that are classified by the state as assisted living and are what people would probably picture as assisted living, like the Heather's Manor or Sweet Living on Douglas.
I'm just amazed there's that many. I thought it was kind of a newer phenomenon. It's just not.
Sorry?
Yes, they are.
Not like group homes. Well, yeah, Stephanie is. Yeah, so they're the same license by the state, right? But I mean, Heather Manor and Sweet Living are not operated the same way as these houses that have been turned into so-called assisted living. It's a very different. I guess I don't want to venture too far into getting into the professionalism and the management and all that, but. The business model for the what is now called assisted living is there's often a second layer. So most of these houses are actually owned by somebody else who gets a rental license from us. But then they basically rent it to the assisted living operator. And they actually have some type of contract with the residents in each of the bedrooms of the house. So there are different layers in the ownership structure, whereas Sweet Living and Heather's Manor, the owner of the property manages the property, provides the care. It's very direct. Is that Stephanie?
They can be either at the residential level. I've heard of a lot of people actually operating their own, owning and operating. Point in case is we have one that's owner occupied. And beyond that, you can't really identify it unless they're actually occupying it. But a lot of people are their own administrators.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, so the typical assisted living, right? We're all thinking about the elderly who are in need of medical care, correct? Assisted living in this case isn't necessarily that. It could be mental health related care, right? So I just want to make sure, you know, because a lot of times when we say assisted living, people think that it has to do with mobility and getting around and making sure you can function, which that is true in this case, but it also has to do with assisted living for mental health.
Okay, so that's a different answer to my earlier question. Okay. Just keep in mind that these are becoming more and more popular because of the cost of assisted living. These are popping up in these realms because they can do it at a smaller cost than a facility with a whole bunch of professional wages that have to be put into place. So, they range from early assisted living to actually memory care units within the residential area. So I can't discern how many of these are mental health or how many of these are for elder care.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I just had a thought too, I suppose. They could be people with just, not just like physical disabilities, but, you know, mental disabilities, like a developmental delay too. So maybe isn't just people who are disabled or people with mental health. There's kind of a wide range of disabilities. So I thought that could be
autism.
That's what jumped to my mind, because I'm, you know, a special ed teacher. So I think of that kind of thing. There's probably, because I remember door knocking and checking out, you know, talking to some people that, you know, worked at those houses. I think that's a part of these homes too. It's not just, there's probably a big range of it. So that's what jumped to my mind.
You know, on the mental health piece of it, it almost feels like a workaround from the group home, you know, just armchair observation.
I was just going to say that I recognize a couple of these addresses on here, and while I was door knocking this summer, I did notice there was certainly a different level of maintenance care, it seemed like, for at some of these houses and ones that I knew were traditional group homes as well. And I wonder if that goes back to that business model maybe or whatnot, but yeah, I think it's This is an issue, and I'd be curious: are there any other cities that don't? Are we really an outlier on this?
We only checked our adjacent cities. We didn't check the others all over the metro, so I can't answer that question. We just looked at the five adjoining cities.
Okay.
And, you know, I think we had some conversation on workload at the time too, when that happened. I think it wasn't a great option because the number of inspections that needed to be accomplished and the staff that we had, it was a good fit with that policy as well.
I guess to that question, where are we at with workload? You have it listed as one of the disadvantages, would it be like really just overwork people, or is there the capacity there?
We've been flexing different inspection protocols several times over the last several years as workflow changes. And so we're confident we can manage that with whichever option you would choose without having to add staff. We're used to doing that. We don't have, you know, we have one rental housing inspector who also does some building inspections, and we're cross-training another person and two other people in the department, if you count the building official as backups. But it isn't like there's a staffing cost increase. We would just figure it out. And conversely, if you were to leave the current ordinance in place and the workload would drop, it's not like we can reduce hours. I mean, there's plenty of work to do. So it doesn't have any impact on staffing costs. It would just be, we shuffle the work around to make it work either way. But the revenue increase or decrease, depending on what option you choose, is real. I mean, that's a pretty solid estimate.
Thank you.
Does public safety, as far as police or fire, have a preference?
Well, I think the mayor's he knows what I'm going to say. Obviously, for us, you know, we do have a fair number of calls for service to our group homes, right? So the more we know, the better, right? I mean, to answer your question, then yes, right? We would want them licensed because the more we know, the better going into the situation, right? However, I see the other side to it, but I'll just say that obviously for us, the more we know, the better.
So point of clarification, if we leave our ordinance the same, they will eventually fall under the group home classification and eventually notification and knowing where they are would still exist. Is that correct?
You mean the former housing services, now assisted living?
Yes.
No, under the current ordinance, they will eventually all become exempt, just as the traditional group homes have been since 2016.
So we don't know where group homes are?
We know the list that's in your packet is from looking up the list of licensed facilities on the state's website. That's how we know where they are.
They're not denoted with dispatch?
No. I think they do sometimes.
I know we had some at fire that were denoted, but that was just based on our experience. I wonder if there's a way we can proactively do it.
Well, I think we can work on that internally. We can look these up like we did for this staff report and just provide it to police
and fire. That would be a logical thing, I would say, if that's an important piece of information.
But is that what the chief is asking in terms of information? They're asking whether or not if there's a situation within the group home themselves that they'd be made aware of based on the inspection, right? Isn't that what the chief is asking?
I don't believe so. No, it's just when they go on scene, they'd like to know what they're responding to.
Yeah, so we would prefer to know what we're responding to, and if the city has that information, meaning who the licensee is, right? So we can have the contact.
Okay.
That's the big thing. Right now, we don't necessarily, unless it's a home we've been to several times, we don't necessarily have that information. That makes sense.
So the inspection part of it, in terms of like the safety, the door or the window latches being removed or whatever, that's not an issue.
Not for me. It would be for fire, but not for us. Yeah, but for fire, probably. Yeah.
I think we'd have I think fire would have a problem if they couldn't get it open, if it was barred. It's a ventilation issue. That's what we do with windows. There I go again. That's what they do with windows. Okay, any other questions?
So, Mr. Mayor, council members, we could prepare two different versions of the ordinance. And then third option is simply to adopt neither of them. That would be option three. So if you all need more time to think about this, we could still put this on the May 2nd agenda and prepare two versions of the ordinance amendment, and you can pick any of the three options. You all have a preference tonight that can give us direction.
I certainly have a preference in not doing the ordinance. That's where I fall.
Okay. Do we have to decide right now, or can we continue it to after the council meeting and discuss it then as to what our preference is?
We certainly could.
Yeah.
Because we're going to run out of time here.
Yeah, we're pretty quick.
Okay.
So let's try and get it done today, right?
For that,
so continue it after.
Does everybody have their kind of what they're wanting now, or does everybody want more discussion on it?
Just I don't know.
Unlike other times, I do have an opinion on this sense.
All right, so we'll continue that topic afterwards.
And then maybe our new council member would like to weigh in as well. So great ad.
Yeah, get the full.
Instead of having maybe 50-50 split.
So we've got a couple minutes. Does anybody have a question they'd like to ask at this point in time in relating to the same issue? All right. We'll get into opinions on the backside with that. We do check in.
Yeah.
Do that in 5 minutes.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, a few items just quickly that I wanted to highlight this month. The Mr. Sutter, when I said staff, is participating in the New Hope Business Association, which is kind of possibly taking over for Crystal Business Association, is no more. We are looking at options to join that and do a joint group. We also, community development, did try to help work with to assist the Women Owned Business Expo that Ms. Bolash had mentioned at a couple of other meetings. Unfortunately, it sounds like that might get restarted again next year or in the future, but it was unfortunately needed to cancel this year. But that's just a couple highlights on the thriving business community objective. For the strong neighborhoods, I pulled out, we are promoting the No Mow May again this spring to help our pollination. We also are working with multiple code enforcement issues, and that was one of the other the constituent issues that I was going to mention, but just mention it here. There was an issue where we did abate a property, there was some, I don't know, it's not confusion, but there was some additional property that, some concerns regarding some of the property that was abated that we were working with that was and on. Regarding the sound fiscal policies objective, I know we're in the middle of, we just started the audit field work this week. I believe some of the council members also received a fraud investigation, interview. So they're doing that with management. So as soon as we're done through this initial field work, we'll be beginning the budget process from one to the next. So we are working on that. The staff have been very busy working on outside funding for city projects. Mr. Elholm and I went to the Capitol and testified for the pool. There's state bonding funding that we went to. There's multiple grants that we're working on to try to ease the taxpayers' direct tax burden. The one note, the inclusion and diversity meeting, we had a lack of quorum this month, but we did still talk with the members that were there, and we were going to be rescheduling that. Couple other things just quickly to touch on regarding some of the other objectives that were for staff. We are bringing back the employee recognition breakfast that we've had in previous years. That's actually tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. So I'm excited for that. That'll be the first time I'm part of that, but we have quite a few. Mr. Sutter is, I want to just call him out here, 25 years. So,
all right.
I do want to note that just one more time here. Thank you, John. But we had quite a bit going on in the staff realm, so we're definitely promoting the caring for each other.
And, 1 minute, Adam.
Yes, the other thing, just with the third objective, the difficult conversations with the council. I do want to say that. Last Thursday at the work session, the council selected the candidate, I guess select possibly, or for the vacancy that will be on the agenda tonight. But I was very impressed. It was the first, I learned a lot about the public as well as the council, and I thought the process went really well, and I was happy to be a part of that with the council. So,
all right. Thank you. We are continued until after the council meeting or after the EDA meeting. All right, we're ready to roll. We will.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So where we left it, I think, was we were looking for feedback from the council members if you have a preference as to option one, which is to change the ordinance to continue the approach we've been using since 2016. Option two, which would change the ordinance to go back to licensing and inspecting all group homes as we did prior to 2016. Or option three is to not change the ordinance, and then gradually over time, this new assisted living category would join the traditional group homes and being fully exempt from rental licensing and inspections.
All right. Opinions, I've already illustrated mine. Anybody? Go ahead.
David. Yeah. Just going through and thinking through, reading the documents in the presentation, I feel like going the number two option, resume rental licensing of the state dwelling, of licensed dwellings, just feels like there's a gap that the city has with those properties. And it feels like we should close that gap. And I just feel uncomfortable with, that we're not kind of looking after these houses going forward. So I just have that preference just with being more comfortable with having the city resuming the rental licensing of those locations. So the number two option just struck out to me as I read this and then having the presentation as well. So that's what I was thinking about.
Go ahead, Therese.
Thanks. I agree with David. When we were talking about this earlier, what I'm uneasy with is that these properties aren't being inspected, and what the city did and what the state were doing are two different things. So we don't want these properties to like fall into disrepair or, I mean.
Put the people at risk, you know.
Yeah, I agree that two is the best option.
A comment on disrepair, you know, these people are running a business, and if they're in disrepair, they have a reason to keep everything in good repair and to keep their property presenting well. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, I was just going to speak from the I work in healthcare. We have the Joint Commission that comes out every few years, and the things that are expected of us down to the tiniest detail is crazy. And that, in my perspective, I agree. I think B would be the best, mainly just because I don't think licensing and just making sure that the safety piece there is too much to ask. I don't think that's being nitpicky of a business, especially when there's patients involved and public safety. So I feel like I would
Forest. Be. Oh, you mean two, right?
Forest.
Oh. Or two.
You mean two?
Yes. Yes.
Second. Yes.
And then, yeah. My thoughts echo that quite a bit too. Is, you know, one, it seems like the way it's been going with the group homes business model has been working. However, this new business model does seem a little bit different. And walking so many streets and seeing some of these and knocking on the doors and seeing, you know, some of the staff and looking in, I recognize some of these addresses. And the big thing that gets it for me is every other neighboring city is doing this. And so the business model of these businesses is including doing this already for their other houses in other cities. It's not like, it's just kind of like we're cutting them a break that they aren't expecting, really, in a way. And so I think that these are some of the most vulnerable people, and it's not going to really damage the business model that much, considering that they're already doing it in every other city. And really, we should be looking at that health and safety of these vulnerable people. So that's where I'm at. So option two as well. Yeah.
Right. I think we got a consensus.
Good. Thank you, Mayor, Council members.
All right.
Liaison updates, or do you want
to? We are city manager. Okay, liaison, yep. Updates. Would you like to go first?
I can.
Sure.
So I attended my first fire board meeting last week with city manager, Adam Bell, and we went through quite a few things. We went through the audit of the 2022 budget, passed with flying colors. Thank you, Chief. Also, we did talk about various aspects of the budget for 2024. That will be coming before you as well. We'll probably bring that at a later time. There's some discussion that needs to be done there as well. There's some improvements in terms of Jaws of Life equipment that's going to be included in all the trucks. The current equipment was purchased in 2012, and the new equipment is battery operated. I think it's they're starting to have issues with the older equipment, so they want to make sure that they're consistent through all the units. I had a great conversation with with the chief, assistant chief, regarding making sure that the trucks are consistent, because that way, as you move from truck to truck, you're not having to like figure out where does the hose plug into the truck? Does it plug into the front or the back or whatever? I mean, likewise, same thing with the equipment that's on the truck. You know exactly where it is and how, and you know where to go get it. You don't have to, you know, look at multiple spots. So that was pretty fascinating. And then they also talked about they're purchasing new hoses. And when I was thinking about when they're purchasing new hoses, that they would get lighter hoses or whatever, but actually these hoses have a different material on the inside of them so that the water is slipperier. And so they're not quite as, they don't have to use as high a pressure rate for the hose. They can use lower pressure nozzles and it's less fatiguing on the firefighters. And the hoses themselves go around corners better. Is that correct, Chief? Did I explain that right?
Correct. There's less friction loss.
Less friction loss. There we go. Thank you. Yeah. Kind of goes around corner better, right? But anyway, less friction loss. And then lastly, the third thing that we approved, I'm trying to think of, was...
the nozzles.
Well, the nozzles, but there was one other thing, too. I think there was...
Turnout gear.
Turnout gear. Thank you. Yeah. So we're in boots and stuff like that, right? So we looked at, as well, try to purchase new turnout gear every year so that replace the stuff that's obviously, under a lot of wear use, and then also to reduce the amount of carcinogens, I think, is also as well, which is part of the contaminants with the firefighter. So overall, pretty good meeting, a lot of discussion. I think it went really well. I don't know if... Adam, if you want to add anything to that at all, I think it's...
Obviously, as you know, the budget will be coming to City Council, post budget, and the audit was unmodified, clean.
And then the delivery of the trucks. The first one, I think, is in August. Is that correct, Chief? August? Do you want to come forward and just talk a little bit about the trucks, please? I'm not trying to take up anybody's time here, but, you know, it's kind of an important thing.
They were just out at Pierce doing the final inspection on Thursday and Friday, and the truck should be getting to McQueen Emergency probably next week, and then after that it'll be coming to us after they do the testing and stuff like that to put it in service. So a couple of weeks and we'll have the first one, and then the other three will follow 4 to 6 weeks after that.
Yep. Oh. Very good. Thank you. Thanks. That's all I have.
Okay. Anybody else got a report? Go ahead, Forrest.
I'll be brief. we didn't have any budgets or anything. In the EQC, maybe I'll talk back here. In the EQC, Public Works Director Ray gave the stormwater report for the year, essentially talking about pretty much how the city has managed stormwater, some of the issues and opportunities with that. And a couple of interesting notes from that is overall, the city has added some capacity to our stormwater retention with some of great projects and also improvements to our pumping that we've done and an agreement with Robbinsdale that lets us kind of pump stormwater quicker through their system, which actually reduces flooding for them as well, I believe is what he's not here, so he can't fact check me, but I'm pretty sure that's what he had said as well. Some kind of exciting and interesting things along with that is there's some new localized flooding data that will be coming out, which it sounded like will maybe be making its way here for discussion. Staff is thinking about what that all means. And in addition to that, there was some discussion in the EQC around future climate planning and the city climate action planning. And I suggested that we just kind of hold off on that discussion, especially and wait until the legislative session's done, because I know there's a number of things in there about that. So it would make more sense if we were to talk about that to wait until that's done, and kind of just have a discussion about that probably in a work session to see if that's something we want to ask the EQC to look at. But that's all we got there.
Go ahead.
I'll be brief as well, and maybe briefer. I attended a planning commission meeting, and I'm actually very impressed with the level of questions and the detail that these people come up with. But they talked extensively about the proposed townhome development on Douglas and 34th, and then there was a presentation from the electric fence guy that went about as well as it did tonight here. So that's what I have to report from the Planning Commission.
All right. Tracy, you got anything?
I had my first Parks and Rec, and that it's mainly just the Arbor Day stuff going on right now.
Okay.
Are you going to have fireworks?
Not that I know.
Go ahead.
So for the Inclusion and Diversity Commission, we did not have a meeting. We had a lack of a quorum. Mike Peterson still gave his presentation because the commission was wondering about outreach and kind of what's communication strategy. So that basically will reset, and then we'll have our meeting in May. One thing I guess wasn't on here. One of the commissioners is suggesting and kind of bringing out the idea of kind of like a, and Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to describe it, but like a realtor kind of like training certification thing that Crystal could potentially host with maybe other cities, and it would kind of bring a bunch of different people to Crystal. And sounds like 2024 what that would be. So, of course, Brooklyn, you had forms from Brooklyn Park, and they do a similar thing. So a little short discussion on that. I'm sure we'll bring that up next month. Can I cover it?
Just not sure to clarify, but to expand on that. It's a realtor forum where you invite the realtors, real estate agents to come and learn about Crystal so they can better market it. And it also qualifies as continuing education for the realtors.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Park is holding a large one this year, and it's the commission has talked about it, possibly doing that in the future.
Thank you. All right. That would be it. Nobody's got anything else? All right. Constituent issues. Anybody got it? You want to go over this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of council, I just had a few here that I just wanted to touch on. Staff. There was a comment passed along to staff about the airport open house or the airport ordinance change. Again, that's tomorrow evening. The multiple meetings. There was a concern regarding the increase of the traffic or the type of use that is not being discussed as part of the ordinance change. Knowledge for that. Staff also received a concern about the use of ambulance sirens during the night and what could be done with that. I was able to talk to the resident today and got a little bit more information. It sounds like it's been deduced to it is an ambulance, an EMS paramedic vehicle, and it's more frequent than they were expecting. Under state statute, emergency vehicles have to have their license sirens on during when they're responding if they want to remain exempt from traffic regulations. Police only have to have one or the other, so that's the state statute. Obviously, each emergency department can have policies and procedures as to how they implement that and comply with that statute, the resident was very understanding, and I did give them information as to how to contact North Memorial. They do live on 80 County Road 81, so that is a major route to the hospital. And there's the ambulance service up in Brooklyn, it's Brooklyn Center. So he's going to contact them just to discuss, see if there's something that could be changed. I mentioned earlier, staff was working with one property that the city was required to abate after some while had taken place, and we're working through. There was some property missing after the fact that there was a concern over. We are we're working with them on that. The only other thing, I did receive a voicemail from a very upset resident about a pavement project that they didn't receive notice for. They said they received notice Friday. It was Crystal City, Missouri. I made sure to tell Mark and Mr. Bowman that when we give notice, let's make sure we do it to keep our residents happy. Misunderstanding, they obviously understood. But that was the first time here for me. I've told, even just searching Crystal, there are many
Crystal name related cities in the
yep.
whole US. So I'm sure this won't be my last time. That was all I had for this meeting. Any others at the council?
Go ahead, Forrest.
Real quick follow up on the airport email. Did that mailbox that Max set up end up getting fixed? Because that was a concern that it was getting a bounce back on the public comment mailbox. And I knew that I think Dan was looking into it. I was just wondering if.
Yeah, I apologize. I have not heard from Dan that Mac confirmed they fixed that. So I will follow up first thing tomorrow.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right. Anything else constituent related? Seeing none, new business. I got one thing on new business. So are you guys healthy enough for a pickleball workshop?
Well, like no. What time of the day are you talking about? So.
When do you think that will be?
June.
June.
Maybe later. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a broken toe. I mean, it's not even.
No, stop.
Well, come on.
We'll hit it in June then.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Announcements. Seeing none, we are adjourned.